Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully and occasionally optimistically. About optimism, really my chief concern right now is what's going to happen in the 2022 and 2024 elections. What will the impacts for our democracy be? And from there, what will be our national stance on climate change? It's difficult for me to see a scenario where the world avoids the worst of climate change without the United States being in a leadership position, and we can't be in a leadership position if the federal and most state governments are dominated by forces that deny the reality of climate change. So for me, that means right now we need to be working as individuals and as organizations to ensure that democracy is defended and that climate-aware folks are in a position of power. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to tell a couple climate parables to make specific points about what we're up against in terms of climate change. So here's parable number one. In a nice American town, let's call it Middleburg, the city leaders decided to set up a system of garbage collection and disposal. There was a monthly fee to cover costs, and people could either sign up for the service or not. Lots of people did, but some people didn't like the system, and they didn't sign up. But that created the problem of what we're going to do with that trash. Some people figured out that they could get rid of their trash just by tossing it into the neighbor's yard, putting it in the neighbor's trash can, or finding some public place where they could just dump it. That way, they didn't have to bear the cost of their own trash. It was an appealing idea to some people, and as the word spread, the practice of getting rid of trash in those ways spread until soon over half the town was handling their trash in that way. The people who were paying to have their trash property disposed of weren't pleased at all. They had to spend time cleaning up their own yards where others had thrown their trash, or they had to hire extra employees for the city to clean up public areas, and sometimes their own trash cans were so full with other people's trash that there wasn't room for their own, and their own trash started piling up. Unfortunately, it seemed that everyone was stuck with this dysfunctional system, since the city didn't have any way of making people properly dispose of their trash, and any time there was a suggestion empowering them to do that, there would be an uproar of folks who didn't think it was any of the government's business what they did with their own trash. Over time, the trash situation got worse and worse, but nobody seemed to be able to do anything about it. So here is the climate application of this parable. There is an important concept in human behavior called negative externality. What that means simply is that people have shifted costs and responsibilities that should rightly be theirs onto someone else. And they're doing this for the purpose of avoiding cost. In this case, the cost of dealing with their own garbage. Just this is happening with greenhouse gas pollution. The producers of carbon dioxide, which is causing climate change, are avoiding the cost of properly disposing of it, and they're dumping it out into the community in general. People who didn't cause the problem in the first place are having to bear the costs, and the way things exist in the world right now, there's nothing they can do about it. And people who are dumping the pollution into the environment like the system because they don't have to pay for their own pollution. Someone else has to pay for that. Of course, as fate would have it, as the climate changes, everyone starts having to bear the costs. Although it is true that some have to bear more than others, and the wealthier people are, two things, the more of the pollution they have created and the more able they are to avoid the costs. Think of an oil company corporate executive living in his gated, fenced, air-conditioned mansion versus a poor person living in a humble house somewhere in the Mississippi Delta. The oil company executive, who is responsible for lots of greenhouse gas pollution, is probably in a position to avoid any consequences at all of climate change, whereas the poor person living in the humble house has no ability to avoid the consequences, even though that person hasn't done anything to cause them. That's a negative externality. And that's why, morally speaking, what we're doing to our environment, to ourselves, and to our fellow humans with greenhouse gases is immoral, not to mention unhealthy and dangerous. Okay, let's hit parable number two. Joe has a fishing boat that he likes to take out along with some buddies to do a day of fishing. On this particular day, the forecast calls for the wind to kick up a bit, but it looks okay, and they head out. They're enjoying the fishing, knocking down a couple beers, a good day with good friends. They're about 4 or 5 miles offshore when the wind starts to kick up. First, it seems like it's okay, but soon their small vessel, probably overloaded, is starting to have trouble dealing with the waves. So Joe goes to crank up the old outboard and get back into protected waters. Unfortunately, even though he cranks and cranks, the outboard tries but doesn't quite ever get going. Things are starting to look scary. Now they're even struggling to keep from lying sideways to the waves, a position that could lead to them being swamped. Joe suggests that they put out an emergency phone call to the Coast Guard, but the other guys are opposed to the idea because they think they can manage it themselves. They might have to pay for a rescue, and anyway, how would it look if they had to admit they had screwed up like this? And besides, they'd seen windy days in the water before, and they'd always gotten out of them okay in the past. At this point, all they had was paddles. Fortunately, the wind was onshore, so it was pushing them in toward shore, so there was some hope there. A guy got on either side of the boat with a paddle, but one of them was a better paddler than the other, and the boat kept getting sideways to the waves, once again with the risk of swamping. Harry, the stronger paddler, was irritated at Bill, who wasn't doing so well. The two got into an argument about who was doing what and who could paddle best and why the other one couldn't do better, etc., but the boat once again got sideways to the waves. Jim and Bob, who had just been along for the ride up to this point, started shouting at the paddlers to straighten the boat out and stop squabbling, and they started working on bailing the boat, which was filling up with water. However, as Jim tried to bail, he was throwing water over the side where the wind tended to be coming from, and a lot of the water was just blowing right back into the boat. This, along with the water that was coming in over the stern periodically, meant that the boat was getting more and more water in it. They were losing ground, and the situation was dire. A couple of the guys who were convinced that the wind was going to die down pretty quick suggested they just put on life vests and ride it out and everything would be okay. Other guys strongly disagreed and argued that everyone should be bailing and paddling in any way they could. They were unable to come to an agreement, so every guy was just doing what he thought was best, some doing something, others doing nothing, others thinking it would be fine to just wait it out, and that it really wasn't going to be a problem after all, that the guys who were panicking were needlessly alarmed. At this point, Joe decided on his own that he's going to call for the Coast Guard, but as he tried to get his phone going, he realized it had gotten wet in all the spray and waves, and his phone was dead. As he broke this news to the others, several of them clamored angrily that if he had just called the Coast Guard in the beginning, they wouldn't be in this jam, and why the hell hadn't he called? Joe pointed out that he'd suggested this, but everybody else gave him a thumbs down, but a couple guys said Joe was just making that up, and it was his fault they couldn't contact the Coast Guard. Because he was having difficulty bailing out of one side of the boat because of the wind, Jim shifted over to the other side of the boat and started bailing there. Unfortunately, he was in the way of one of the paddlers. The boat got sideways again, and with the imbalance of more people being on one side of the boat than the side facing the waves, the boat was overturned in a particularly large wave, and all of them were in the cold water, hanging onto the overturned boat for their lives and privately of their own thoughts, wishing they'd handled things better. So here's the climate meaning of this parable. We have put ourselves in a dangerous situation because we as a species have been ignoring well-founded messages for decades that we can't keep on doing what we're doing, that we have been putting ourselves in danger. The danger we are experiencing is primarily from fossil fuel emissions. We've known it for a long time that it's a problem, but we've ignored the warnings and we continue to dump those pollutants into our atmosphere and things keep getting worse as forecast. As most of us become aware that we really are in trouble, arguments about what to do and if anything should be done have broken out between the alarmed and the deniers. The science deniers are in a position to block a lot of action and they do that. Even amongst those who are concerned and alarmed, there's plenty of squabbling about what should be done and whose fault it is, etc. The climate parable story is not complete. How is it going to turn out? Well, some of the problems are baked in at this point, but what we as a species do going forward is what's going to determine how things turn out. And that determination is up to us. So that's it for today. I'd love to get your feedback. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit, good people. Check it out. You might find something there of value for yourself. If not CCL, some other organization, because our voices are most effective when they're joined with other folks. Here's a reminder that this climate talk, along with all locally produced KTAH programs, are available on the KTAH program archive. Just do an internet search, look for programming, and you'll find the archive. Okay, so here I am once again reminding you, as always, Live like the mountain is out. Take care now.